What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another game cast. I believe this one is episode 16.
18?
Is it 18?
I have no clue. Don't ask me questions.
Checking. I think. Give me 1 second. I really should look this up beforehand. But in my head, I'm like, oh, this is episode, such and such.
You know what it is? It's episode one. This is episode one, y'all.
Here we go. Episode 17. There we go. So we were close. So I guess two things. Usually when we start, we kind of jump into recent happenings, usually in the gaming world when it comes to news and stuff like that. And then we talk about anime before we eventually get to our main topic. That's not going to happen.
No.
This week there's a lot of stuff going on, and if unless you live under a rock, you kind of know what's going on. I mean, all 50 states and other countries are all talking about the same thing.
Exactly.
And that's the horrible stuff that we're seeing and experiencing, have been experiencing for a long time, that's kind of come to a head all of a sudden because of police brutality. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, for all the people who are looking for more gaming stuff, anime stuff, manga, movies, and, just basically entertainment, that's not going to happen. Because we have other stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
More important things to talk about. Oh, and side note, I've been blocking people on Twitter, and not just people, but like whole websites. I'm not going to say their names because that would defeat the purpose of blocking. But there's this thing because Sony had the PS5. They were going to do like a reveal this week, and they decided not to because of what's going on. And I'm going to get to how I feel about that in a second. But a lot of people were upset about that, and some websites wrote about it. Now, it's one thing to kind of be upset because you're like, the week has been horrible and I was looking forward to one good thing and it's gone now. I get that. But this would not be the time to express that because it makes it sound like that's all you care about. And a lot of you, that is all you care about. And so when someone on Twitter who I follow posted, an article that a website put up, they quickly pulled down because they were being called out about it, of how, the biggest travesty right now is the fact that we didn't get to hear more about the PS5. And I was like, please tell me who they are so I can block them right now. And I was like, yes, the entire everybody, because I'm not doing it. And right after that, just so people didn't, get things misconstrued, I want to explain or kind of say why I felt the way, or not felt the way, but basically what I was doing. And I essentially said, I'm going to paraphrase, that it's one thing to act fake woke, which is what some of these websites and companies are doing to garner some good PR right now. And, only time will tell how real that is. And there's another thing with being just an ass. You have your literal fans, your readers that are protesting, getting maced and manhandled by the police, and you're talking about the PS5. No. So yeah, they got blocked. They got blocked, and a bunch of other people got blocked. And to you, it might be like, what does it matter? You're you, right? You're like, I'm not anybody important. But for me, for my mental space, yeah, gone. And I think we all should do that. Because there's a lot of goofiness going on and people showing their true colors, and I don't have time for it. There's stuff that I deal with on a daily basis, or that we deal with on a daily basis, that supersedes the stupid toxic stuff that we see on Twitter, that we see on Facebook, that we see on Instagram, that we see all over the place. And yeah. You can imagine what the title, I'm not going to say what the title is, but you can imagine what the title would have been or what it is. We decided what it's going to be already. We usually wait till the the podcast is done and kind of listen back and then say, oh, this will be a cool title. Yeah, we know what it is already.
Yeah. It took no time.
No time at all. No time. So I just wanted to kind of inform you that this is where we're going. This will also be probably one of the episodes where I don't allow comments. Again, in the vein of blocking or to protect my peace,
right.
I don't want to hear from the people who like our podcast have been talking to me privately. They've been, you know, retweeting stuff. They've been thumbs upping and following and all those good things.
Yeah.
So all of you people who are cool can continue to do that. But, you know, and comment on other videos, obviously. But like this one, not so much because I'm not for it today.
Yeah, we're not having so, it. And it's today, tomorrow, and forever.
Yes, facts. I mean, there will be comments, you know, it will be put back up, but you will be blocked, you'll be banned, you'll be, you know, all those good things. And depending on where you are, I might come see you. So it's
pull up.
Yeah. We're not doing this. We're not.
Yeah, we're not. We're not about that, lies. There's just no time to waste because this isn't new. You know, we are in our late 30s at this point, and I have no energy for it. And we've talked many times before about, you know, we give our social media handles at the end of the show, every show. And I always say, yeah, you can follow me if you want, but I don't post anything because I typically stay off my social media. It's typically got to be something powerful, something strong to make me want to post. And that could be me climbing a mountain, something that I rarely ever do. Or that could be, you know, me reacting to something funny or me just saying what I'm feeling, which is the only reason why I posted stuff now at this point. Because we're just at a point where we're tired. We're tired. We're really, really, really tired of this. And it's something that we see in our daily lives. And not everybody has to experience what we experience in our daily lives just because we're Black. And I don't have any more energy towards it. I don't have any more energy to, I don't know really what the words are that I'm trying to say, but we're tired. It's George Floyd's murder is not the first. We've been experiencing these types of things for so long. And this is a lifelong fight for us. This isn't I'm going to protest this week and then in 3 months we never see you again type thing. It's every day for me. So
exactly.
If you are following me on my social media, you will have noticed that for the past several days I've been posting, which again, it takes something strong to get me to post. And so you can go to my Instagram at messytessie_bakes. And see what I'm posting.
Right.
Comment if you want. Like, if I don't like what I see, that's going to come down.
And it's been great. I stopped by because I got a notification that you're posting. And I was like, what? She's posting? Hold up. I got to come. And it was great. Like,
thank you.
It was cool to see. It was kind of like a celebration of us.
Yeah.
If you will. And because one of the things I've noticed, because right now there's a kind of a call to raise Black voices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of media outlets that are doing that. Actually, on Blackout Tuesday, which we'll talk about in a sec, that was one of the things that people were trying to do was raise the different voices in different media. And in the games media, one of my white friends nominated me, like people should check me out sort of a thing. And then I was in the middle of teaching and I was looking at my phone. It was blowing up and all these people were following me.
Oh, wow.
Different editors. Yeah. Like different editors and stuff. And I was like, this is cool. Like it felt kind of cool to be acknowledged for things that you already do.
Yeah.
And to, you know, making a point to do so. And for the few people in the back, it's not necessarily a handout or anything like that. It's just, there's a balancing going on and they're tipping the scales a little bit in our favor. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that the people in power who have always been in power are trying to give us a little bit. So it's positive. And so with that came, you know, the idea that, hey, if you have a story, you have something you want to say, you have, you know, get off your chest. And a lot of it has been kind of like what we're doing in a sense that talking about current happenings and past happenings. And on the flip side, though, there's a lot of good things that we have to talk about. There's a lot of good things that are just naturally from us that we could be speaking about during these times as well. And so going to your Instagram and not seeing the protests, not seeing, you know, police, not seeing tear gas, not seeing all that stuff, but actually seeing, like, you know, designers and writers and filmmakers and and athletes and stuff like that who look like me was pretty freaking awesome.
And that's my point. That's my whole point is, like, you know, you can go, you can hit hashtags and get, if you need to see protests, if you need to see X, Y, and Z, there are certain people's pages where that's going to be on. It's not going to be on my page unless I'm there. And, or unless it's just something that I'm extremely power, I feel a certain way about. It's not that I don't have any, like, I love protest. I do. Okay. I'm all about that, that life. But obviously it's not on my page because I have been saying, I'm going to go into something that has been very important to me for a very long time. And obviously just a little bit of background on me. I know I've mentioned this before, but I do have my own struggles with anxiety and mental health issues. And so I have a tendency to keep a lot of things inside and to myself. I don't necessarily post a lot and put my stuff out there because I do have to keep my own mental health in check. And so I'm not on social media that much, but also I'm full of ideas. You know, that's the bipolar in me. I'm full of ideas. I have all kinds of crazy things going through my head all day and things that I really, really wish to see for us as a Black community and also as a child of African immigrants. I've always been talking about how the Black dollar matters and how it's so important for Black people to be able to buy Black. And this has nothing to do with anyone else. It, just because I'm saying buy Black or I'm voting for everybody Black or this, that, and the other, it's not an exclusion of anyone. It's an inclusion of us. There's nothing wrong with being able to say that for us as Black people to be able to be like, you know what? I'm going to support Black people. I'm going to, oh, you know what? I found a Black designer. Or I found a Black cake maker. I found a Black designer for my wedding dress. I found a company that rents chairs. It's a Black owned company. I'm going to use them. Like, I'm allowed to do that. We're allowed to do that and support our Black community. And that is okay. And that's exactly what I'm doing on my page because since we are not equal in this country, and I'm putting it out there because it's just true. And I don't want anybody to come at me sideways and say, oh, yeah, you're equal civil rights. Okay, we're cursing here today. Fuck that shit. All right? I'm over it. Fuck that shit. Okay? I will call you out, and I'm a nice person, but I will call you out your name, and I'll call your mama out your name, out her name, okay? Because that's just not true. We're not equal in this country. We haven't been equal in this country since we stepped foot on this soil. And because of those things, the inequities show that we need to take care of ourselves as a community. Our Black dollars that we make because of our blood, sweat, and tears that we have at any job, we need to put that into our community. I watched Trigger Warning with Killer Mike. I loved when that show came on Netflix, was it? I think it was Netflix. Yeah.
I think it was Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of my favorite things because the stuff that he talks about is just so accurate. And we as Black people are the only, like, community in the United States that can't keep the dollar in our possession, circulation from Black to Black to Black to Black person for more than 6 hours. That's it for us. The Asian community can keep a dollar running in their community for 30 days. That's insane. And it's not like, it's not, I'm not saying it's insane because it's wrong. What I'm saying is we don't have the infrastructure in our own communities to make our dollar work for us, to make our dollar last for us. And we are constantly the community that is underprivileged and in communities where we are plagued with illnesses and violence and mass incarceration for crimes that we didn't commit, that we were apparently doing, or were getting murdered by police officers who are supposed to be protecting and helping us. All of those things affect our community. And one of those problems is not being able to hold on to wealth.
I mean, that's kind of go, and not to cut you off, that kind of goes back to, because there's a lot of people who are saying, like, like, for instance, they'll say something along the lines of, like, you know, immigrants came over here and they were able to make more money than you. And then I go back and say, well, if you look at things of like redlining, or you look at things of like Jim Crow laws, and you look at things that people feel, I think when people talk about these things, they hear about them in during their, you know, history class, if they're being taught that it was something that happened during a period of time and then it was over.
Right.
What you don't understand is that this was damaging on a generational level.
Thank you.
And to make it plain, I'll explain the just a little bit here. For instance, when we were freed as slaves, right? We weren't given anything.
Nope.
We didn't have any land. Some people went back to Africa, some of the lucky people, but a lot of people who stayed here had to be sharecroppers, or like they had to go back to the plantation. And even though they weren't a slave, they had to work there to try to get some type of money because they couldn't have their own space. So you think about that, like for the people who are like, yay, you know, you guys were freed. You were no longer, after the Civil War, you were no longer slaves. And it's like, but it didn't end there. And then when we get to the point where we start establishing communities, we start establishing, you know, how they say, pull yourself by your bootstraps, whatever, the foolishness.
They have no boots. How we gonna pull us up by bootstraps? We ain't got no boots.
Facts. So we had to look at then like the segregation and where people, where, you know, Killer Mike would say, in this sense, segregation wasn't necessarily a problem because we had our own. It was a problem because our own wasn't equal to what everyone else had.
Right.
And so not being able to get, you know, I mean, we see it now today on a different type of scale, but like not being able to go to certain schools, not being able to sit in certain places on the bus, not be able to do whatever. You can't even hold certain jobs. Then we fast forward a little bit to when segregation is, you know, that's that push down. Even then we had violence, you know, going into those white only schools, we were met with violence. We were met with people, you know, basically with terror, fast forwarding a little bit more where we had, you know, we eventually got like, I think we have like one black senator at the time or something like that. And how the KKK was like, you know, basically they were, on the Democratic side and they wanted to, I forget what town it was, but they wanted to take over and they didn't want certain people elected, certain people to abolish certain rules or whatever. And so they terrorized the place. They dragged people out of their homes and hung them and hanged them. And eventually it flip-flopped, which is why we have the Republicans that we have now, because a lot of those Democrats went over to the other side because they couldn't get their way. And the KKK eventually bully people enough and feel, you know, cause so much chaos that they kind of relented. I forget what town it was. I'll look it up in a sec, but they basically relented and they had to call the National Guard. They had to do all this other stuff to kind of to help them out because the KKK was terrorizing everyone. So we go forward now. We have redlining. And I'm actually skipping some stuff from Jim Crow and everything, but we had redlining where, I'm doing this quickly because we don't have much time, but we had people who were in like, you know, World War II or whatever, black people, they would come home and then they can't get homes that they were promised, like their white counterparts.
Exactly.
And because there was all these rules and it wasn't like there wasn't a law that was like black people, like, you know, like no black people. It wasn't like that because that would be too easy to shut down. Right.
Exactly.
And so what they would do is they would have a prerequisite that would target certain individuals. And those individuals happen to be black. For instance, when we got the chance to vote, when we first got a chance to vote, it wasn't like it is now. Like you had to be able to read. That was one of the rules. The thing is, though. That too, but the thing is with the reading thing was that if you were able to read, that means you were reading when it was illegal.
Exactly.
Which means you have broken the law. So like it was always stuff. And so like we kind of see that nowadays as well, where someone running from an office who also happens to be a part of, you know, a certain faculty or a certain group that controls where the voting places are, you know, shut down the voting that voting place because of, you know, there's a potential for fraud or whatever, and they will move it someplace else. Now, the people in that area have to drive more than an hour to get to this voting place. Most of them can't do that because that means they have to take off from work.
Exactly.
And they have to, you know, it's hard to get people to vote to begin with.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we look at like, okay, so why would that person do that, right? You say like, okay, it's people were, things were, bad things were happening. But in the sense, look at the community that they took the voting, that voting place out of. It was right. predominantly Black. Right. And this person had to happen to be a Republican. And Black people weren't voting for Republicans, they were voting Democrat. So if I take the place, the means of actually voting out of your community and put it somewhere else where it's more difficult for you to get there because maybe you don't even own a car, depending on how poor you are, you have to drive, you have to, you know, catch the bus places. The buses don't go that far out, so you have to get a ride, you have to take off of work. I don't know why voting day isn't a freaking holiday.
Exactly.
But like, I mean, I can guess why. And so a lot of people didn't vote, and then that Republican ended up winning, and it's like, it's ongoing. And so like, when people say like, you know what, that was years ago, and no one should feel guilty anymore, and all this other BS, it's like, no, fam, like, these things trickle down through generations. If your grandparents didn't have any type of wealth, any type of land to give you, your parents started out in a rougher place than
right.
their white counterparts, and then so on and so on. And like, even getting to the point now where a lot of my family, like, we, like, I have a house now.
Yeah.
And that was like a big thing for me, like, you know, having a house, getting a house for our kids before we were a certain age, we were able to do that. But mm-hmm. looking back on my parents, like, they were able to do it because of the military. Like, my dad was in the military. Mm-hmm. But even before that, it was like, yo, like, I don't have to go far back. There's people that are still alive in my family that face some of these things. So yeah. like, it's not a one and done type of thing. Like, I don't understand. And then there's also like all the systemic things where like how the police came to be and how, yeah, there's a lot. And so if you feel like this should be done like a one and done thing, you have to really educate yourself and, you know, shut the fuck up for like 5 minutes.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Like for 5 minutes. So people can explain. Like I went really quick. I didn't have, you know, the names and stuff. Like if I had time to tell you, you know, we only have so long. If I had a time to tell you and I could break it down, I could give you the names, I can mm-hmm. give you the places, I can give you the body count, I can give you all those things. It doesn't take very long to look it up. It's just the fact that we're trying to move on. But my point of saying all that was that it isn't over.
No.
There's things that have happened years ago that are still affecting people now, and that's not counting the things that are happening currently,
right?
You know what I mean? Like you know, we talk about, you know, the protests and things of that nature, and how someone had to die for everybody to finally kind of wake up, seemingly wake up. I don't know how woke some people are, but sure. seemingly wake up.
They're sleeple because they're going to fall asleep. And this is why I'm saying this. This is why I'm tired. This is why I get angry. And then I have to calm myself down because I'm like, I am so happy that the world is involved. Like everybody is up in arms. But please tell me this ain't one of them trends, because every time, sorry in advance, but every time this happens, we have a group of people who love to say, you know, I'm with you. I stand with you. This, that, and the other. Da, 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 da. Like, this is wrong. You're right. I finally see it now. X, Y, and Z. And 4 months go by and they're back to doing their normal lives. That's what I'm saying. I'm Black every day. I am Black every day. This is always going to be my life. I'm always going to have to deal with this. So until I see you standing by me every day, doing something for our community, until the oppression ends, I'm not with it. And I don't have the energy to spend on other individuals who are treating this like a trend. I'm not about it. I am not about these Instagram hoes, because that's what I'm calling them. But these Instagram hoes who are going to run around the city after it's been looted and pretend like they're helping. There's basically that video online where the girl, there's a guy actually trying to board a window. She goes up to him and she's like, can I please? He gives her the drill so that she can pretend like she's boarding up a window, and like her boyfriend is videoing it.
I saw that.
Instagram. Yeah.
And it's like,
are you guys, you think this is a trend? Just like every summer you can go get a tan or something. Like this is not a trend. This is our life. And until something changes, until the system that was created to make Black people lesser than, and nobody can say that that system didn't happen. I had a conversation with a friend last night and I had to explain it in that manner. I'm like, this country was built on a system that never intended to look at us as equals. So being freed as a slave did not all of a sudden make Black people equal. Like you said, there were laws that didn't even allow us to vote because of the loopholes. Yeah, right. Sure, you can vote. Well, you can't because you're a Black woman, so you can't vote. But he's a Black man, he can vote. And then he gets there and they're like, oh, sir, can you read? Well, yes, I can read. Oh, can you go over to that line? And what? And there's the police waiting for him. Sir, you've broken the law. We're taking you away. Wait, I thought I was voting. Yeah, until you told us the truth. Right. That's our point. It was never created. We can give more examples of why it was never created to make us equal. Everybody loves to tout Thomas Jefferson as one of the founding fathers. And like, he was a good man. And he wrote, you know, all men are created equal. Yeah. Did you read the sentence after that, though? That says that Black people don't count.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, we're not making this stuff up. And it's so unfair. Every time we have that conversation with friends, and we can say this, it's not limited to people who are not Black. Like, we have Black people who want to act ignorant too and need to be educated too. But that's on a
Candace Owens. Oh my gosh.
She's not a human and I hate her and I don't want to talk about her.
What I will say to that, and I'll leave it alone. There's this thing that they're doing where, you know, George Floyd, you know, passing, you know, was murdered, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is like, there's this thing that people do that I don't understand, where they take information that's not needed or not relative to what mm-hmm. we're talking about, and then they put it on top, and then they do this thing where, like, you know, I'm just saying this, like, why? And she did. She was like, you know, his background, you know, into, I guess, you know, having a criminal background. I'm not going to go into it because it doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't. I tweeted when I, you know, they were showing the video around. I tweeted that I don't care if he had a rocket launcher in his car.
Exactly.
I don't care if he had a million guns. I don't care if he was a kingpin, you know, the leader of every blood in the United States. Okay. Once he's subdued.
They make good soda.
Once he's subdued, once he is handcuffed, once mm-hmm. he's on the ground mm-hmm. and there's like, I don't know, you and four, you know, three other cops around him with guns, he is no longer a threat. Mm-hmm. There was no need for you. And he was so much like not a threat to them that the officer who had his knee on his neck had his hand in his pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe that's how they do it there. But like with me, if I feel like I'm being threatened, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to flee, or I'm going to put my hands up. I'm not going to put my hands in my pocket. Exactly. I'm going to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to put my hands in my pocket and chill and smile for the camera while people are pleading with you to let him up. I don't care about his past.
No.
I promise you, even if he was a serial killer, I don't care.
Right.
Why? Because we have we supposed to have some type of law and order. We're supposed to mm-hmm. arrest the criminals. Then they go to, they mm-hmm. go to trial. It's right. not Judge Dredd out here. Like,
right.
So if you believe in all the things that you say you believe in, that you would mm-hmm. feel the way regardless. You wouldn't say, you know, because she was like, you know, he's not a martyr. You know, he was a bad guy. And, you know, but I hope his family gets justice. No, shut up. Shut up. No. Shut up. You're doing the thing that kids do when they get caught doing something they shouldn't. They'll be like, well, Johnny did this, or, you know, such and such did that, or well, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, take accountability for what you are doing.
Yeah.
Stop adding extra information that is not relative to what is happening right now. If he was mm-hmm. in court and they were bringing up, you know, he had guns in the vehicle and he used to have guns all the time, he sells guns, maybe then we could say, oh, that's relative information. He has a mm-hmm. history of guns. That has nothing to do with him being killed.
Exactly.
In front of everyone on camera. That has nothing to do with it. Stop bringing up information that has nothing to do with the case.
Right.
Nothing. And
the biggest, the only thing that there is now is the fact that this police officer acted as a, you know, a bad officer. And then he acted as the judge and jury, and then the executioner.
Exactly.
You don't get that. Your job, your literal job, is to protect and serve in that instance. That's it. And he was not a threat. Your job is to arrest the man, put him in the car, take him to the police station, tell him why you got him, and then you go about your business. Go back to being a beat cop, you dick. Like,
yes.
All right. And stop with this I'm gonna go kill me a black dude thing today. Like, I'm over this. And I think it's really important. Obviously, we're kind of just getting out of our emotions and we're kind of just like talking and this, that, and the other and saying things. But there's so many things to talk about. There's so many levels because we've talked about, like, just in general, if you look on the news or you look on the internet and everything about just, you know, racism as a system and how the police have the ability, because they do in these situations, the police have weapons when other people don't. The police are in they're a figure of authority. And they're trained in a certain way. And to be honest with you, they're trained in a manner that is not to de-escalate. They're trained in a us versus them type thing. Like, they pull out their guns as soon as they get scared. It's right. Not just about, oh, you know, you're trained to unholster your gun in a certain situation. Well, that certain situation is fear for your life. The situation is not, oh, take out your gun when you realize the perp has a weapon. Take out your, like, they're taking out their guns before they identify a perp. So yeah. The police officers in a general sense are trained in a way in which it is very authoritative. It's very,
I don't think they're trained. I just think they're gun happy.
They are definitely gun happy.
they're just bullies. Like, there's no training. Like, man, you can't be.
Some countries, their cops don't have guns. You know, yeah. they don't have guns because they also don't think that they need guns. I mean, in some societies, people don't have guns in a general sense, like Japan. In a general, it's not a big thing for people to own guns as personal individual citizens. And it's not because they don't have the right. They do have the right to own guns. It's just very difficult. You have to go through so much. The red tape is so much to get a gun that you just don't want one.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to go through that. No, what's the point? Because honestly, you have to ask yourself the point of having it. Because I know in America, we're allowed to. It was written into our Constitution a long time ago. It's normal. People have guns because of the militia. It was like, oh, by the way, you know, we just fought off the Redcoats. We should be able to have guns just in case they try to come back. And then it was like, okay, well, we're our own country now. Screw the Redcoats. But we have black people that we pissed off. And they're also really strong because we bred them that way. So that they could build stuff and we could kind of just like sit back, and they're kind of free and they might try to kill us for all the things that we did to them over the last several, I don't know how many years. And I need to protect my plantation and my children's legacy because I want this plantation to like still be around when I'm dead. And yeah, those types of things.
It's not even like, and you know, being gigantic cowards, I totally understand that. I mean, it took like, what, you know, multiple people and two pickup trucks to try to apprehend one black person with no right. gun.
With like, no gun.
You had shotguns, fam. Like, you, how afraid are you? Like, you are so afraid from having like any type of confrontation that you just have to shoot someone. Like, I've never been that. And like, I've had, you know, like police officers pull guns on me. I've had. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've had other people pull guns on me. I've never been so afraid that having a weapon, having backup, you know what I'm saying? That you're still that afraid. Yeah. Like, how?
Seriously, how? Let's talk about it. How?
What happened to you? Like,
For real. What the hell happened to you? Seriously, you tell us. Because I still want to know what the dude who shot Philando Castile, because that still hurts, because I watched that video through and through. I watched every video that they possibly had on Philando Castile. I don't even know what allowed me to do that, because I cannot watch George Floyd get murdered. And anybody who's close to me like knows that I did not watch the video, because I can't. Like, and I need to protect my emotional space. I know that he was murdered. I know he's dead. I know those things. And so I can't put myself through watching him be murdered like that. I'm traumatized. I am already traumatized enough, but that's not stopping me from doing what I can in my own power. And I'm always doing what I can in my own power to bring this to light. to talk about these types of things or to use whatever. I don't have a big platform. I'm not famous. Nobody knows me, this, that, and the other. But I always use whatever I have to be able to do what I know is best for us as a people. And not just us as Black people, but everybody. But I'm saying that I know this. I don't need to watch the video to know that this cop murdered him. But I watched the cop murder Philando Castile, and I still say to this day, what would make you do what you did? Like, what? And he came up with all kinds of reasons. That guy, that cop said, well, I smelled marijuana, and I was like, you know, there was a baby in the back, and I just couldn't believe, like, I couldn't understand how if somebody was going to smoke marijuana in the car while the child was in there, that they could be capable of anything. Dude, did that really just come out of your mouth?
He was like, and also, I don't, like, people who are going to shoot you usually don't tell you that they have a weapon. Like, he said, I have a weapon here.
Yes.
I
told you. He said he had a license for it.
Yeah.
How were you afraid for your life? You were afraid because a Black man said he had a gun, and that's all you needed. That's all that dude needed. And it's part of a conversation because we are trying to talk about this type of oppression in the United States of America, that it's not just coming from white people. And as I know right now, we've got a lot of white sensitive people out there who are like, oh, you know, this wasn't me. I didn't do anything. I'm not racist. I'm not this, I'm not that. You know, this may have been something that my grandfather's grandfather was a part of. It's not me. And it's like, first of all, you're benefiting from the system that your grandfather's 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 granduncle created. So that's A. All right. If you're benefiting from the racist system, then you need to take accountability. And that's all we're really asking for from you. But when we talk about, this person was killed and it wasn't a white cop, like they were Asian or they were Hispanic or whatever, we are also talking about racism as in general. It doesn't have to just come from white people. If the police are a racist institution, because we already know they are, the police are a racist institution. They were invented to catch slaves. That's what they are. And so everything that was passed down from the creation of our police has a outline in racism. And so everybody who dons that badge and wears that uniform, you're not a racist, but you are working in a system that was created in racism. And therefore, it's your job as a person in a uniform with a badge and a gun to realize or to try to filter and be like, hey, these types of rules are bad for people. And you don't have to just be white to do things that are racist. It's not limited. So you have the other officer who's Asian. You have the other officer who's white as well. And I don't know what the other guy is. And then you had in the Philando Castile, he was Hispanic, was he?
I think so. That.
But it and the guy, I think it was a guy and his girlfriend who were walking down the stairs in their apartment. They took the stairwell or the fire escape, something
oh,
like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was an Asian cop.
Asian cop. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there are honestly people who are racist who love becoming cops because then they can use their racist anger to take that out on people. And they enjoy that. Because weeding out cops, when the weeding, I don't know, the academy process is really to figure out who's an asthmatic and who isn't, you know, who can run 10 laps and who can't, who can jump and who can't, you know. And
this, a lot of those cops failed. They failed
that
test.
Yeah, they sure did.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's excuse me. Beyond, you know, the idea of it's hard to deal with police. It's hard to, and for people to kind of understand what's happening. I'm seeing, you know, even just looking on Twitter, how people, I'm fighting the urge to be like, you are Black for for 10 seconds. There is, you know, journalists that are getting, you know, roughed up. There are people who, you know, there was a guy in Richmond, part of the press, who was you know, dropping people off and trying to get home, but it was past the curfew,
yeah.
and he was pulled out of his vehicle. He was taken a place, someplace. He wasn't told why he was taken there, and he was held for like however many hours. And you know, when he was finally released, like no one read him his rights or anything, and it was very traumatic experience, and I feel for him, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I want to be like, hey, that's us, bro. Like yeah. you've experienced a little bit of it, and it's like they're just now seeing. But even with that, it's like you don't get it, and because of that, it makes it difficult to kind of talk with people to try to explain, because it gets exhausting having to like no, the cops are really that bad. No, the cops really do these things that we're saying.
Yeah.
And now that we're seeing it on a global scale, I mean, from you know, across the United States, of cops just going way left. Like there was a journalist who was shot in the face with a, what do you call it?
Rubber bullet.
Yeah, rubber bullets. And she lost her eye. Oh. And it wasn't, she was like, I'm press or whatever. They stopped, like she had a camera, microphone. Like, you yeah. know what I mean? Like, obviously she wasn't like rioting. She's yeah. away from all the, you know, people who are protesting. She's on the side. And the person comes and aims at her and shoots her. And, you know, another person, a Vice journalist, mm-hmm. is grabbed and put on the ground. He's like, I'm, you know, I'm Vice, I'm press. They're like, I don't care. Like, they say this on yeah. camera. They didn't know he was recording. And while he's laying on the ground, his hands are up. And one hand has his Vice pass. The other mm-hmm. hand is just open. He's just laying there for however long. And then a police officer walks up and maces him. He's not doing anything.
He's not doing anything.
And I want to be like, you were black for 5 seconds, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you know, with the person who, you know, we were talking about off air, talking about like the person who was like, you know, I tried to be there, I tried to help, right. and she said something really dumb, and then she got called out for it, and she started crying, and how she wants people to you know, sympathize. Outside of this being a typical tactic that abusers use, yeah. it's also the fact that you don't know what it feels like. So it's hard to feel sympathy for you when you're finally being clued in on something that's been happening for years.
Yeah.
When you're still tone deaf, you aren't doing any reading, you aren't mm-hmm. listening to the people who are talking to you. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have nerve to cry about something.
Yeah.
Like here's something that, you know, just like newsflash. My son turned one not too long ago.
Yes, he right? did.
Awesome day. For me, it was like, yo, this is awesome. My son is turning one.
Yes.
And at the same time, it was traumatic. It was disheartening yeah. because my son is getting older, which means eventually I'm going to have to talk to him about all this bullshit.
Yeah.
So then it's like having this weird, just, you know, like just being happy and sad all at the same time.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Right.
Stop being upset when people are trying to correct you. Stop yes. being upset when we're just trying to talk to you and show you. Stop waiting till someone dies before you start listening. You can't yeah. say you have a black friend if you don't. Look, let me chill.
Fam, I got you. Oh, but I want people to hear that, though. To hear that passion and that anger in your voice is what we're feeling. And the thing is, we need that space because we're the ones who we keep calming it down. Like we're like, you know what? Can't like we're at the end of the day, we're always placating. Like we're always like, okay, you know what? I'm going to bring it down. We used to have that phrase, you know, bring it down. You don't want to scare the white people.
Like, right.
For real. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. Like I'm sitting here right now. Everybody I know, white, black or whatever, you can listen to me saying this right now. And that is a real thing that I have known as a phrase since I was young.
Yeah.
And I remember it being said more and more in college because when I left Springfield, which mind you was a mixing bowl, and I went to school in Richmond, it was a lot different in Richmond at once, yeah. you know, murder capital, but like, I get down there and that was a thing. It's like, you need to act a certain way. You don't want to scare the white people. You don't want any reason for the police to come over here. You don't want any reason for, you don't want, you know, like, let's stay in our lane. Let's stay in our, this is how big our blackness can be. because we're going to make other people uncomfortable. And you want to know what? That's what this is about right now. We're making people uncomfortable because you need to see our discomfort. We need to make you uncomfortable. That's what protesting is all about. And that's why I am tired over and over again of people trying to tell us how to protest. You cannot tell anyone how to protest. That is the whole idea of a protest. If protests were all like, okay, hi, 1-800-PROTEST-LINE, hi, I'd like to protest racism. Can I get a permit? And I'm going to need this street blacked up and this street blacked up. And I'm going to need balloons and unicorns and popsicles. And we're going to be on here on this day at this time. And I'm calling you 2.5 weeks in advance so you had time to prepare. Right. So everybody can know, oh, please avoid XYZ street, so that they can demonstrate their peaceful protest by marching 1 mile from this location to this location, and it'll be blocked off, and it won't inconvenience anybody one bit because they told us in advance. Fuck that shit.
You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. Like, nope. It's that, yeah, you want that so you can avoid it. You don't want them to protest properly so you can actually observe, listen, and then change some stuff. You want to do it so you can. I remember, I think it was Fox. I can't remember who it was, but like when there was a protest a few years ago, and they were like, "I couldn't get to Macy's to shop for Christmas." That's what you cared about.
Yeah.
You didn't care about what they were protesting about.
Mm-hmm. Your capitalism is more important than our bodies. And they have proved that over and over again. Oh, my God, the looting. Okay, yeah, so the Chanel bag is more important than Floyd's life, right? It's more important. That's what we trying to let you guys know because
yeah,
bang shit up, burn shit up, whatever. I don't care. We're trying to get your – it has nothing to do. It's not even – if the protesters, you know, because we've been saying this forever, that agitators always show up. This is opportunistic. Anytime something bad happens, agitators will show up in force, and they will do things. They will be like, oh, yeah. You know, they did that with Freddie Gray. They did that with Alton Sterling. Like, agitators will always show up, and they're not part of just the regular protesters. Now, we can't necessarily really separate. We don't really know who was who and this, that, and the other. But again, that doesn't matter because the whole point of watching a city burn is to get everybody's attention. That's the whole point. The whole point is to make you uncomfortable. And it's like, look, bash windows, this, that, and the other, whatever. Burn, baby, burn. Because if I can't be comfortable in my own skin where I live, then you can't be comfortable either. That is the whole point of no justice, no peace. If you're not going to give Black people justice, then you are not going to get peace. And understand that in every sense of the word. By any means necessary, we want what we want until our demands are met. This is what your life is going to be like. If you want to think that that's holding you guys for ransom, then fine, because the ransom is our freedom. That's all you have to give us. And it's not even something that you should have to give us. It's our right.
Right.
As long as you are free, we're supposed to be free too. But the system was not created for us to be free. The system was created so that the people who created the system could always be on top. And we have gone so many years down the line that the people benefiting from the system don't even realize that they are part of the system. It's the Matrix all over again.
I don't think because there's this whole idea of like giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think it's either willful ignorance or you just don't care at this point.
It's both. It's totally both because it's 2020, y'all. It's 2020. It's not new. Okay, this is not new. George Floyd is not the first person to be murdered at the hands of police. It's not new, and that's why we're so fed up, because it keeps happening. How many years ago was it? It was Mike Brown. What is that, 2014? When the girl stood up with that sign, the first time I ever seen a sign like that, that said, "I'm tired of protesting this shit."
Yeah, yeah.
We're tired. And so to sit here, like, to see all these people come out, and I'm like, I'm really happy that you guys are coming out, that this is a thing to you, because it's the whole effing world at this point. All 50 states and all of our territories and every country everywhere else. I mean, we talking about France. We talking about England. We talking about Ghana. Okay. There are protests all over the world. New Zealand is getting down for us right now. Like, but it can't stop there. It can't just be, okay, we're going to protest and block off some streets and annoy some people. And then also take these photo ops with cops, which I'm just not about. And I don't hate cops, okay? Like, oh, I hate saying it like that, but I'm being serious. Like, it's not just cops, but the problem is you're going and being like, I'm going to hug these cops and show that not all cops are bad. And we have this, we're talking about, look, if you're going to be okay with macing people, we're calling you guys a collective right now because you're the one with the weapons. The protesters are standing out there with water bottles, all right? And their backpacks with snacks in them because they know they're going to be walking for hours. They got a change of shoes in there if they need to. Maybe bandages because X, Y, and Z. And gallons of milk because they know y'all about to do some stupid stuff with some tear gas and pepper spray and stuff. But I'm like, y'all are in full-on riot gear like this was Jinro, the Wolf Brigade. Everybody needs to watch that, by the way, because that's where we're going. We're going in two directions if somebody doesn't stop them, the crazy person in the White House. We are going towards Jinro, the Wolf Brigade, so everybody should watch that. If you don't like watching cartoons, if you don't like watching anime, which you shouldn't be listening to this if you don't, then you can watch the Korean version live action of the movie, which honestly isn't doesn't tell the story the same way the anime does, but it's fine. It's good enough. And it's got some really cool Jason Bourne-esque moves in it. So you can watch that and get a little bit more understanding of like a police state and military state that's entertaining. You can watch The Handmaid's Tale, which starts off in the same idea, you know,
Just Mercy, Warner Brothers is actually allowing people to rent, right. You know, Just Mercy, which is based on the life of civil rights attorney Bryan Stevenson, starring yeah. Jamie Foxx, and his name fell out of my head. Killmonger.
Yeah, my baby Black Panther, my baby Killmonger.
There you go.
my Michael Jordan. I'm like my Michael, my baby.
Yes, he's in it too. And so yeah, Just Mercy, definitely a good film to check out. There, you can see it for free right now.
Yeah,
Warner Brothers is doing that.
Yeah,
and that's going to So I kind of this one I wanted to kind of point out the fake wokeness and, yes. You know, kind of piggybacking off what you were saying about this can't stop. So there's a lot of, you know, like Sony, you know, saying that they're not going to air stuff. And then right after that, I think it was Ubisoft. And then, you know, people like it was like a domino effect, right? Like a bunch of other companies started doing, even Nintendo was like, you know, we're going to chill for a little bit because of what's going on. Right. Mm-hmm. And a part of me wants to be like, yeah, all right. And another part wants to be like, so this is something to kind of give you like we're on the right side of history. Like, yeah, we're the good guys. And then we'll eventually sell you something. Like, this is what we're doing. We don't really care. We just kind of want to, you know, do this so that we can eventually sell you something. And I feel a way about that. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, I'm not going to like point out the one, cause we don't know just yet. We don't know how changes are going to be made, you know, internally and be shown externally. What I do know is that Kotaku, they actually contacted a lot of these companies and asked them, so, okay, so we saw, you know, your posts, your, you know, IG, whatever the case may be. What are some of your plans for change? How are you going to help? What are you doing to, you know, follow up basically? And none of them had a comment. And, It was hilarious and but not shocking at all, right? So then I started seeing websites, and this is when I got into my block. Like I'm blocking all you people.
Yeah.
But one of the websites that I frequent, IGN, was saying how, you know, they didn't post anything on their site for Blackout Tuesday at all, and they were saying that we're gonna use this time to uplift Black voices, right? So right. I've been a fan of their movements for a while now. They've gotten really diverse with their hiring process. It's not just, you know, because at one point it was just white guys.
It was basically
running the show. But now we actually have women in editorial positions. I believe the games editor is a woman. You know, so stuff like that. The TV editor is Black. Like they've been mixing it up, right? So I've been liking what they've been doing for a while. Mm-hmm. And then also there was a huge move that they did during Black History Month last year that was really great that I was a part of. So I was like, all right, let's see what you got, IGN. Let's see what you got. And so what they did was the following day, they actually had a thread on Twitter where they were like, this is what we've been doing since we made that post. And then each thread or, you know, part of the thread, they had one of their, you know, editors, and it basically said what they did. So one editor was like, I donated to, you know, the I think it was the bail fund for the people who were protesting who got arrested you know, or for them to get a lawyer. They were donating to that. Others, you know, they were hiring or looking for Black voices to write. One of the editors who followed me recently was I messaged her like, OK, so, you know, like, what are you looking for? This type of thing. And she kind of was like, we want features from people, specifically people of color, and et cetera, et cetera. And so, like, they were doing some really cool stuff. And I was like, you know what? This is like the least of. Mm-hmm. This didn't take, like, they didn't move a mountain. But at the same time, to have majority, like a ton of your people in your organization or your site do some cool things is like, all right, like, you're showing me that you're trying. And you know, because at one point it's like, you have all this money, you have all this time, you have all this whatever, resources, access, you know, you could be doing more. Like, I don't want to go to that end because you have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so with that, though, they kind of went, they were doing even more, and it wasn't a big deal in a sense of like time, but it was like, we have the access, we have the resources, we can do this. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
And they've been doing it like, and since then, one of them that I follow, she was getting together with other writers and basically giving out tips and stuff in terms of like how to pitch a story, how to get your, you know, your resume in order so you can actually you know, submit it when they start asking for, you know, because like I said, they're trying to boost up Black voices. So they're trying to hire and get freelancers and all this other stuff. You know, this is a time that you could actually kind of capitalize a little bit. So they're trying to help you out. And I thought that was really dope. So then when I, on the flip side, when I see a site talking about the PlayStation 5 and how they're bummed that they couldn't see it, I'm like, yo, like, really, my dude? My point is, you could have been fake right now and still save face.
But no, you got people who don't want to. They want to show their blatant disrespect. Drew Brees, F him. Okay.
Oh, and NFL. NFL.
Yeah. I don't.
Did you see what they posted? They on Twitter they were saying like we're with the Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I legit tweeted to them, I was like, no, apologize to Kaepernick,
thanks,
stop acting like you care, go apologize to that man, and then fix your infrastructure, fix how you're treating people and how you look at us as only athletes. We're not even human to you. We're just like walking dollar signs.
Totally.
We don't even get paid the most when it comes to the NFL is one of the highest grossing sports, like, I don't know, like machines out there. Like they make more money than baseball collectively. Mm-hmm. And not even just like, for instance, the Dallas Cowboys, that team makes more than like almost whole sports. Like it's crazy. And so, but we don't even get paid like talking about, like, there's so much crap there that I don't want to hear the NFL talking about anything that has to do with Black people. And so they fix their stuff and apologize to Cap.
Apologize to him, pay him all the money he needs. I mean, it's not even neat, but pay him. Just like when they were like, oh, you know, Kaepernick might file or whatever. Like, yes. Everything that he needed to file, discrimination, all kinds of stuff, pay him. And you're not paying him to shut up. He's going to be able to talk about this for the rest of his life. But you need to apologize to that man. Apologize. Sitting there having half your play, not even half your players, but a bunch of the players that we know that are racist as fuck, sitting there clapping when the president said, sons of bitches and this, that, and the other. Fuck all of you. You're all racist. And you're never not going to be racist. And we know that. And that's why I don't fucks with you. We gives none. Okay. You are not here for us. You never have been here for us. You want us as your workhorses and we're not about that life anymore. So when I'm really irritated. I'm irritated as hell because you can get any other Black player for doing something. Remember the brothers who are Muslim? and took off from the NFL so they could do Hajj. And the one slid in when he made that catch, he slid into the end zone and made the touchdown, but he got fined because he slid, because they were like, oh, that's prayer or whatever it was, that because sliding in on your knees and bowing to Allah is clearly a violation of the NFL. But what's his face? A pretty boy bowl cut. Oh yeah, so he can deflate the balls, okay, and still be the quarterback and still play and still do all kinds. Like, come on. You're being racist in front of our effing eyes, and we know it. And when we call it out, we're punished for that. That's called a racist system. So any white person who is sitting here right now, or anybody who isn't black and who is sitting here, or anybody who is black and is sitting here listening to this and being like, oh, well, that's that person. No, it's the system. The system is racist. It has been from Jump Street, and it benefits certain people. And all the people that it benefits who aren't calling the shit out are racist too.
It's not even... They can't even say that. They can't even say that it's just this one person. Because when if it was just this one person, that person will be put in jail. They will be fired. They'll be fined. They'll be do all those things. That doesn't happen. Nope. They are allowed to get away with it because of the system. You can't say it's one person. If they go free all the time, whenever those one person show up, nothing happens to them. Mm-hmm. Then yes, it's the system.
Right. And I'm just, we're tired. We've had it. And we know what to expect because we're black. We know what to expect. It's like, we know the disappointment. We know what happens to us in this world. And that's why when something so egregious, we're like, can you hear us now? Basically, people are like, do you see now? I hate that. It's like, there's so many examples that I can use, but I'm just going to put it like this. We're out here saying to everybody who doesn't believe it when we call racism, but we're saying, do you see it now? Because the man stuck his knee in George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes. Do you see it now? Do you see it now? Do you see it now? And it's so angering because the fact that we even have to do that at all, because it makes me even more mad, because now I see all of you standing with us and being like, oh, we stand together with the black community. And I'm like, but you didn't stand before. You didn't say when Tamir Rice was gunned down, a 12-year-old playing with a toy in a park, a child was murdered by a cop who had the nerve to say, oh, well, he looked bigger. What?
So you didn't even give chance to you hopped out of the vehicle and fired within seconds.
Exactly. So you're going to sit there. We've been calling racist for decades. And just now in 2020, just now you want to stand up and be like, yeah, because you know what? We're videotaping the crap now. But you didn't believe it when it was our word. And that's racism. So anybody who want to sit out here and be like, I'm not racist. No, you were born into the racist system. It doesn't just mean that the Ku Klux Klan and lynching black bodies. That's not what it means. It means you being able to live your life and not have any problems and have this great life in X, Y, and Z and not be affected. If the color of your skin doesn't stop you from getting a job, the color of the skin doesn't stop you from walking into a store and being followed, you know, and the color of your skin nobody's pulling you over because of the color of your skin. I'm just saying, like, all of these things are privileges that you don't have. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, as a black person, I don't have a certain privilege, because you want to know what? As a black person, I can walk into a party full of black people and not get looked at. I mean, well, I will get looked at because I'm fly. But I'm going to walk in and necessarily not get looked at funny. You might be a white person and walk into a black party and people might look at you. Look at Justina Valentine on Wild Out. They always be like, the white girl this, the white girl that. There's some black people on there that got privileges, but that's nothing. That's nothing. That's entertainment. That's a TV show. We're talking about our lives being threatened on a daily basis because of a racist system. And people still want to act like, oh, well, that is, but do you believe us now? It took a man getting a knee in his neck for 9 minutes for you to join up with us. And those are the things that make me angry, is because I'm happy that you're up and you're being like, yeah, I'm with you, man. This is wrong. But you weren't here at the last protest. And you weren't here at the last one, and you weren't here at the last one, and you weren't here at the last one. Why? Why weren't you here before? Why is it this time?
And it's not like this wasn't like because I hear people saying, like, you know, that we finally got the best angle. You know, they it was recorded from like the best spot, and there's nothing you could have hidden in terms of like what was happening before and after. It's like, no, there's been plenty of these videos. Hell, the Rodney King video was pretty explicit.
Come on, in
terms of what happened. Like, this is not, you know, I talked about, you know, a while ago, how A Different World is one of my favorite shows of all time, because it addresses a lot of these things, but it doesn't in a realistic way. It doesn't do it. It has jokes, obviously. It's a, you know, it's a sitcom, but it does it in a way that's not corny. And that's not a shot at, you know, shows like Family Matters or whatever. It's just that there's a little bit more reality there. And they talked about how, you know, doing the riots, you know, and the Rodney King verdict and how everybody went crazy. And I remember him saying, one of the characters saying, like, you know, this is bad, but hopefully we will learn by this. Hopefully 10 years from now, 20 years from now, this won't be the same thing. Hopefully we will change. Hopefully. They even did a joke with Roseanne, but before, I guess, she turned racist. I don't know what was happening. Yes. But they did a joke with her in terms of people looting, and how the people looting wasn't all white black people. It was some white people who were taking advantage of the chaos, and how a joke about like perceptions, where, you know, Whitley is afraid and she's hiding in a store because, you know, of all the chaos, and Roseanne and her husband walk in and they're like, it's not even, you have nothing to be afraid of, or not afraid of, but you aren't the problem. And there's a lot of misconceptions going on, and there's a reason why it's exploding all up in our faces. And so that's years ago.
Yeah, it was years ago.
We and we saw, like, you know, there's like a hashtag every week about a black person being killed, whether you're in your house playing video games with your nephew and you get shot from a cop who's in your backyard.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, or like, you know, Sandra Bland, who is pulled out of her car and treated such a way because she got a little mouthy. Like, really? Or like the cop that was at the I guess it was a park. There was a swimming pool, and a black girl got mouthy with him, and so he like dragged her to the ground. And when people tried to to fight him off, he pulled his gun.
Pulled his gun on kids.
There's so much in terms of rage, like seeing stuff like that, but it's been happening over and over and over and over. So yeah, like I feel like, and on one side, it's, and again, this is kind of like where I'm torn, where it's like, on one side, it's like, thank you for saying something. Thank you for doing something, for trying, for helping, for moving, for, you know, raising black voices, for recognizing that there's a problem. And then the other side is like, what took you so damn long?
Yeah.
Like, why do people have to die before something changes? Why can't it be just, you know, the college student who was roughed up and his nose was broken by security, or, you know, the people who were in the guys who were in the I think it was a Starbucks or something, and they called the cops on them because they were having a meeting and the cops came and arrested them. Like, I get it. I guess you looked away because they sued and they won money, but the idea is that this continues. This isn't this people's attitudes, their minds, like, I saw on Twitter not too long ago where I think it was Minneapolis. I forget where it was, where police chief was like, we're going to start training our police officers on how to deal with protesters in a peaceful manner. And someone tweeted like, you hadn't already trained them?
Seriously?
Like, you waited till everything's on fire before you thought to train? Like, this is all history. All of this is old. None of this is new. The only thing that's different is that you have a better angle this time.
Yeah.
Like, visually, you can see it better because the camera's better. That's it. That's it.
That's it. That's literally it. I'm still at a loss. And my biggest concern right now, you know, in this aftermath with people being out there and people protesting and all kinds of stuff, is I'm really concerned because Corona's still a thing. And I'm just really concerned. I am, because this is all about passion. Everybody is out right now because they're passionate. And obviously, you know, people who are like, this is the thing to do, so they're going to go do it. And there's two sides to that. One is is saying and doing something because you feel like you have to, because there are a lot of people who are like, oh, if I don't say anything at all, then I am bad. But it's especially what Black people are saying right now to people who are not Black, what we're saying to you is that if you're still silent now, then yes, there is something wrong with you. Like, you are a racist, or you are part of the oppression because you're not doing anything. But it doesn't mean that you have to just put up a black tile. That's not what it means. It means that we need to see action from you. Like, it's not just about saying, I got this email, and it's titled Uber Stands with the Black Community. So you didn't stand with us before? I'm just saying, some people think it's like, oh, I just have to say something. If I don't say something, then it's wrong. And we're not, it's not just about you saying something, it's your actions. It's what you're doing to rectify this problem now that you recognize it is a problem, even though it took you effing forever. And then on the other hand, I like to come from a mental health space, because sometimes these things are really, really troubling for the Black community, because this is something that we've been going through for so long. The trauma is there. The generational trauma is there. And DNA remembers this kind of stuff. So we already have a lack of mental health care and mental health care access in general for the Black community. And so I know that there are a lot of people out there who are Black who are saying to our Black friends and family members, I'm not in a space to do something. I'm not in a space to say something, because it becomes traumatic. It becomes too much. It's like, I can't, I'm tired, I can't. And that's something that we have to take care of in our community, because we need to basically build these lines, these soldier lines, where it's like a phalanx. It's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This phalanx, where if one of us is, or many of us are suffering and cannot fight the good fight, we cannot drive traffic. We cannot be we can't use our voice to be I need everybody to do this one thing, or I need everybody to do multiple things. And we don't have it in us anymore. We're tired. We need that person, that part of the phalanx that comes right behind us when we roll. We need to roll backwards so that they can put that shield up. So there's just a couple of avenues. And when I was talking about Corona, I'm thinking of people who have been out there protesting Monday. If you went out and you protested on Monday and Tuesday, then it's okay, go home and quarantine for 14 days. And when you have quarantined for however many days and you're fine and you're not sick, then your line, your protester group gets to go back. When you group A through Z, And that's just because we are, and I think some people think we were, but we are still in a public health crisis, and this isn't helping, and it makes me scared. This is part of when I think of conspiracies, because this is one of those things. I mean, this dude knew he was on camera, and he smiled in the camera multiple times. It felt like a setup.
There was no fear. There's no fear.
None. But the thing is, it's the aftermath. If you're a police officer, I mean, obviously he was probably running on some white hate, racism, adrenaline shot that he takes every morning. And he wakes up and he's ready. It's waiting by his bedside. He takes that shit and he's like, I'm about to go kill me some Black people today. Because that's literally what it felt like to all of us. But he went off and he did his thing. And then he's getting camera'd and he's like, cool. He's like in the zone. He's like, yeah, this is what he's getting his fame. And does he think he's some sort of I don't want to use Jesus, but he's some sort of martyr figure. He's going to kill this Black dude. And then he's going to be on trial for it. This is not new. You're not going to be the first white cop to be arrested for something racist. And so he's on camera and he knows he's on camera and he's okay with it. And so what I'm saying is that it just feels like such a setup, because he murdered this man on camera, smiled about it, never said, oh, fuck, oh, shit. Because the dude who killed Philando Castile was crying. He was hysterical. He was like, oh, shit, oh my God. And then his partner was like, okay, it's okay. But that dude was kind of hysterical. And this dude was just like, I'm killing him. I'm having a good time. I'm putting my hand in my pocket. Is this a good angle? Hey, is this my good side? Like, that's the kind of shit that it looked like he was up to. So after that, we're all going to be outraged, not just because you murdered this man, but because you looked like you were having fun doing it. So we're all outraged. We're crashing the streets. Like, we're outside. We're totally breaking CDC rules. And corona's still a real thing. I don't want a bunch of people to have corona all of a sudden. It feels like a setup. Our community was already hit really hard.
I mean, it's I can't say whether in that being a setup, but I have seen, you know, where like cops are breaking their own cars and, you know, in uniform and, you know, destroying things and then saying, you know, it's looters or whatever. That's definitely, oh, at least on that end, I could be like, yeah, that's definitely a setup. But, yeah. You know, even not being that, it's just, it's gotten so crazy that the idea of personal safety has been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's 2020 is going to end on a rough note. It just is.
Well, it's going to end with a nuclear bomb. We're all going to die.
It's well, hopefully not. Hopefully not.
I'm not hopeful anymore. How many things I got to be hopeful about? That ain't happened.
Shoot, I need to see Attack on Titan first. We got to finish that.
You know
They showed the trailer.
Yeah, the world can't end. Remember when the world was supposed to end in 2011 and it was like, no, Harry Potter doesn't come out until, you know, like, you can't end world. I need Harry Potter. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of one of those. I don't know, but I'm being honest. Like, I don't want to say I'm not hopeful, but it just feels like everything is just wrong. Everything is wrong with this year. Like, we thought 2016 was bad, not just because we elected a Cheeto. But it was a bad year. We lost David Bowie. We lost Alan Rickman, who's like my favorite actor. We lost a lot of people in 2016. You know, famous people in general, but we lost like our own people, and it was just a rough year. 2016 was a bad year. I felt violated after the election and whatever. That's neither here nor there now. But we're in 2020. And it's terrible. It's a horrible year. We've lost so many people. We've lost people who are close to us. Like, we've actually lost family or we've lost friends to coronavirus. We actually have. Or people that we know have gotten sick. And everybody's lost their jobs. I'm one of them who's not working and who can't even qualify for unemployment. It's a horrible thing. And it's just a bad year. It's a bad year. So then I see on Reddit, they're like, hey, some people made some mistakes in the Gregorian calendar a long time ago. So instead of it being 2020, it's actually 2012, which is funny for two reasons, because 2012 was supposed to be the year that the world ended in the Mayan calendar. So this is probably the end of the world as we know it. And then secondly, I was like, wait a minute. If it's supposed to be 2012, that means that the 2016 election didn't happen. And that Trump Cheeto is occupying the White House illegally. And therefore, we should be able to get him out. And then automatically, Obama would be president again because it's still 2012. You see how it works?
I'm not mad at that logic.
See?
Is anything to toss him sideways? Like, that's you know...
Yeah.
And that whack photo op that he did. Yeah, I'm not a fan of him at all. Like, I just...
No, I hate
and, him. And that's like, that's, you know, that's an easy thing to say, I guess, in this sense. But like it's like, like, why are you you?
Yeah, like, why are you like this? Why are you like this? Because all I hope, and I'm saying this, and I hope anybody who was there, I mean, I know people who were there on Monday in D.C. Like, I'll call them up. One of my friends, I mean, we're actually not friends, but I met her at a performance one night. And she is a singer and she's an amazing singer. She was actually singing today. I was waiting because I was like, damn, when are these local singers going to get on these microphones and start singing? And that girl got on there and sang today. I was like, what? But anyway, my point is, I know a bunch of people who have been protesting all week long and who were there Monday and who were gassed and who were hit with rubber bullets. And I just want every one of those ones, if you are listening to this, to know that y'all need to get together and see if there's a class action lawsuit that you guys can file against the president or against the Metro police department or whatever it is you guys can do. And I'm pretty sure now the FBI and the CIA are listening to us now. But like, this is not okay because their First Amendment rights were infringed upon. They weren't breaking the law. They weren't looting. They weren't doing anything. They were there in Lafayette Park and minding their business, just protesting. They're allowed to do that. And it's like, you don't need a permit to protest. Like we were saying earlier, getting a permit to protest is, it's a convenience thing. It's so that you don't have to worry about, you know, getting arrested for certain, you know, behaviors, and the fact that you are assembling and you're allowed, you have the right to assemble peacefully and all that kind of stuff. But a permit like allows the space to be set for you, allows like blocks, allows a police escort, those kind of things. And that's really it. Otherwise, you're allowed to congregate. It could have just been a party in Lafayette Park for all we care. Were they being loud? Yeah, I mean, that was the point. If you want to cite people for disturbing the peace or for being loud for a certain decibel, it wasn't even 7 p.m. when the stupid curfew apparently was supposed to be the time. Like, they weren't doing anything. And the fact that at 6:45 they got gassed, and we all saw the video. We watched the video. They were standing there. And as soon as that one police officer like moved his shield, that's when all hell broke loose. And this is also something that I want to say, because when people organize protests, there are certain things that follow. Like if you are part of Black Lives Matter or whatever, you know how the protests are organized. If you go to the Women's March or this, that, and the other, if you're part of groups that you know protest, they have rules. They're like, hey, everybody, you know, there are these things that we follow, da 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 da, use the buddy system, use certain phones, like, da da da, record. You know, there's rules. There was no rules here because it was so passionate. And people are just showing up because they have passion. And so there's no organization. This is one of those things, when you saw those cops, when the cops started moving forward, because they didn't move, like, so quick, but the front line of people cannot turn around. Once you turn around, it's like you're running away. You cannot turn. You have to back up. You know, but I'm not saying that the people in the front row were seasoned protesters. They didn't know. They were being gassed and pelleted. They just, all hell broke loose and they ran. I even saw the footage where the police officer hit a cameraman.
Hit him with his shield.
He hit him with the shield. And I was like, wow. I mean, and this is what we talk about, having a crazy racist ass system. The guy who got hit wasn't black. That's not the point. But the oppressive system, the police are an oppressive system. That's what they are. And had anybody out there at this point is a target. This man was in the cut. He wasn't even like standing in the way recording it. He was to the side, sitting down, you know, in a railing, like a banister, one of those guards things for the building. Like, he was not impeding anything. The police officer just knew he was there because he saw his camera over the I forgot what those things are called. It's not a barrier, but they're basically like the stone railings.
Yeah, you know? I know what you mean.
Yeah. And I'm sure that the police officer saw his camera, and then that's why he decided to swing his shield on him. And then he grabbed his camera and like punched the man. What kind of nonsense is this? If this isn't rage, for what though? These people didn't do anything. Like, anyway, I'm sorry if I was digressing, but I just feel that laws were broken because...
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, they weren't breaking curfew. They weren't violent. And it's their First Amendment right to assemble. And so because that was infringed upon so violently, it wasn't just, hey, everybody move, because the way that they could have done it, instead of like gassing and everything, would have just been to slowly move forward. You know, you slowly move one step if they need to clean the area. But then we found out that they were clearing the area so that Trump could walk over there and take photos. So this isn't okay. You can't just clear the area at like violently. And I just hope that someone legally is organizing so that these people can file a class action. That's what they need to do. And I believe that they have the right to do so. And I believe that it's something that would go to a circuit court a federal circuit court, not a DC court, because they used Metro Police. So, and they were ordered by the president. So the president used his power to do that. And I believe that that falls under a federal circuit. And hopefully that, I hope the circuit does its job and it doesn't have to get elevated up to a higher court, because it just is what it is. We're tired. And we've been abused by this president long enough. Outside of the system abusing us, the president is abusing us. And he's abusing everybody. So if you're white and you don't, if you're not black and you don't stand with us under oppression, you need to stand with us now, because your president is about to turn America into Gilead. And again, that is a reference from Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, man. It's appropriate, though.
It is.
I just, it's tiring, exhausting, having to constantly have this be a thing, and the least of what people can do, or least of, you know, just listening, you know, just like, let me just chill and let me just listen to you for a second. Because people are quick to say they have black friends, and they're quick to say they have black employees that they care about and all this other stuff. Black, and it's like, all right. Too. Yeah, it's like, just listen and for a second and really soak in how, I mean, ask yourself, aside from the Candace Owens of the world, how many black people you know that has not experienced racism?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't count any.
Yeah,
in my lifetime. So I mean, it's not something that's made up. And hopefully, with the police going bananas, I mean, it's horrible. But at the very least, it's like, you know what? They're not even they don't care anymore in terms of hiding it.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, at the very least, you can see like, oh, they're doing some really crummy stuff. Even if you don't see it as racism,
right,
at the very least, you could be like, they're doing some really, really wicked things to people just because they're angry or they feel a way about a protest or whatever the case may be. Not cool.
It's not cool. Like, remember the white guy who was shot in the hotel hallway?
Yeah, that was all toward, like, sorts of crappy.
Yeah. And it's like, look, you don't sit in here and look at us as black people and be like, oh, well, what about these white people that were killed? Nobody said nothing about them. But you want to know what? Because this is what I'm really tired about, because I keep seeing this online. I am really tired of this. When you have white people who are going online and saying, well, so-and-so was white and so-and-so was murdered by the cops, how come you guys didn't say anything about him? And it's like, did you protest for him? Because you're white.
And a lot of us did. Brother.
I don't remember. Did you protest? Because I'm sitting here. We're protesting for our fallen black comrades. We're out here doing it. We're out here trying to make a change. But you're going to sit here and get mad at me for protesting for George Floyd. Did you protest for the white person who got killed by the cops? I don't remember a protest for him. I don't remember. So I'm going to think that you didn't. So don't ever come for me when I'm sitting here supporting black people. I'm black. All right? I'm black. And I knew I was up in arms. I was livid when that guy got shot in that hotel. That was all kinds of fucked up. But if you're going to sit there and talk to me and be like, well, where were you? I'm like, where were you? Where were you? Because I don't remember y'all making a protest for him. I don't remember that. I don't remember y'all organizing against the police and saying, this has got to stop. But every time we do this. So don't get angry at me when we're sitting here out here doing it. You need to do it too. And then maybe you wouldn't feel so crazy when we're out here doing it. You would be like, oh, I see you. I'm going to join your protest. You joined mine. We can all do this together. You can be any color and help dismantle a racist system or dismantle an oppressive system. It is not just oppressive just because of race. But it is allowing people who love power and who are trigger happy and who are angry and have issues to have power. And we need to end that. Like, open your eyes, see it, and recognize it and call it out so that we can get it to stop. Don't just sit here and be like, black people are criminals. That's why the cops are killing you. Okay. I heard you, Susie.
No, her name's Karen.
That bitch name was Susie. Exactly. That bitch's name was Susie. Karen was the bitch who decided that she was upset because something didn't go her way. Oh, that's Karen. Oh, God. And her nasty-ass potato salad. Bitch, don't bring that over here. You was never invited to the cookout anyway. Why you always trying to bring potato salad? Ain't nobody asked you to come. Shit. Always trying me. Gotta be showing people. Look, showing people my black side. You know how many times I try to show my African side. I can't even bring the African side out because the black side is overtaking everyone. It's out here. I don't have the energy to even pull the Africanism out anymore.
Oh, God.
I can't scare people no more with that. I used to get people. I can't even do it. Now it's all black.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm done. I'm done with the Karen.
On that note, we've been going at least like 1:30, so we're gonna call it on Karen's horrible potato salad.
Raisins.
Yes. and yeah, we so yeah, just wanted to vent a little bit this week.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, probably next week. I don't know. Like, things don't seem to be getting better anytime soon. Hopefully we'll be in a better mood next week and we could talk about what we were supposed to talk about this week, but you never know because it's 2020. I mean, we had killer hornets, we have police brutality, I'm pretty sure there's going to be hurricane season is going to be hell if it keeps going this way.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it. We have the coronavirus. Yeah, 2020 has been all sorts of bananas. So who knows? What I can say though is that you should totally subscribe. Hit the little notification bell. Mm-hmm. Check out all the stuff that we've been doing. We actually streamed another Nintendo game. We streamed Animal Crossing. I actually streamed with my friend Ricardo, who also writes for UFG. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time just looking at his island. It was extremely chill. We did have some sound issues. I'm using a capture card because the Switch, as opposed to streaming on my computer normally. So we had a little bit of sound issues here and there. But for the most part, the stream is awesome. And we're just playing Animal Crossing. And it's a fun, chill time, and that could be very therapeutic right now, so I would definitely check that out. Had a great time. It's on the YouTube page under UFG Plays. It's the newest video, and we have a bunch of other content up there. I'm not going to plug everything today because I'm exhausted, not from the cast, but just from life. So definitely subscribe, follow us. It's all in the, you know, in the description and whatnot. And
I'm gonna add just on top of that, like, basically the stuff that I've been posting is about you know, black dollars. I just want everybody to listen, and if you truly do want to support, like, if you are not black and you want to be, you know, an accomplice, like, that's what we're calling people now. We're over the ally stuff because allyship wasn't working. I'm saying that the only way to truly help equality become a real thing is that we need to be looked at equally and have the same opportunities. And the only way that happens is money. And so it's one thing to donate to certain causes, like, you know, you can donate to, you know, Black LGBTQIA youth. There are so many things out here. It is Pride Month, everybody. So please remember that. I know that there's a lot going on, but don't forget that it is Pride Month. And we really, really do need to make sure that we're taking care of our Black youth, our Black trans youth, our Black non-gender binary fluid youth. I mean, they are extreme, not just youth, adults too, but the environment is very volatile. And so those things are important. It is important to support Black people. Black dollars count. And we have a tendency, like I said earlier, to spend our money elsewhere. So if you truly do want to be an accomplice and help Black people and people of color in general gain equality, then you have to invest your money in our ventures. We need to be in the room and at the table and participating on a high level. And it's not just about letting us in the space. It's about we would have had our own space if it hadn't been damaged. We had our own things and they were burned. And what we're trying to say is support us now. That's what we're asking for. This is a good way that you can help, is by supporting Black businesses. If you are Black and you are listening, support Black businesses. I cannot say that enough. Support Black businesses. Killer Mike has a whole series about how he was trying to live by only supporting Black businesses. Whatever you're into, Black farms, they exist. Black distilleries, if you like alcohol, they exist. Black Black clothing lines that source materials from certain places that help Black or Indigenous people or people of color in general, you can find it. You just have to want to. You can't just sit there and be like, well, I can't. You can. There's the thing. It's this really awesome thing. And it's the place where we post our podcast. It's called the internet. You can use that. And when you use the internet, you will find many a thing. We're doing a thing. You can do a thing too. So support Black businesses. I cannot say it enough. There are Black therapists out there. So please do that. There are Black cannabises, Black dispensaries, Black owned cannabis farms, if that's what you do. There, if you want it to be Black, it can and will be. It exists. You just need to find it and you just need to do the work. So we're just asking everybody to do the work. And like I said, we've had a vent session. We are happy that you listened. We're happy that you were here. We're happy for that. We're really pissed off, actually. But we're really happy. We're happy you're here. And if you made it this far, thank you so much. Just thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us for 17 episodes. It's probably been about 21 to 22 weeks, maybe. If not longer than that.
Took a break here and there.
Yeah, we took a break here and there. We took a break last week, but just thanks for being with us as long as you have been. And we hope to be able to continue to bring you guys content that not only you guys like, but we like. And yeah, I've said a lot. I know my voice is hoarse. There's probably a lot more things that I could say, but I don't remember any of them. So we're just gonna end it here. We love you. Stay safe. Wear your masks if you go out. Limit travel. If you are going to go out, just go protest. And have a wonderful night. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.